Okay, good morning. Been great, hasn't it? Just before I start my word this morning, I just want to share something prophetic that I felt God gave me as I was driving in this morning. As I was driving in, I was praying, as I often do when I'm on my own in the car praying. And, you know, in the Bible, God speaks to people in different ways, doesn't he? He says to Abraham, look at the stars. In other places, he talks about the grains of sand. He just uses different pictures. And as I was driving in this morning, yesterday while we were out and about, I'd commented to Elaine about how many sheep there must be in Northumberland. As you drove around, every field is full of sheep and lambs. And then as I drove in this morning, I was looking again across the fields as I drove through and watching the sheep, watching the lambs, as I was praying, and I just felt God stop me and say, I want to speak to you through this. And so if you're from another church or just visiting this morning, forgive me, I do feel this is a word for HCC. You can take from it whatever you want back to your setting, but I felt very much God say this to me, and I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying here. I felt God say, I'm going to do a work in HCC that, yes, may come through the startling and the extravagant or the miraculous, but I want to do a work in HCC through the spiritually, naturally way of discipleship. Felt God talk to me about, I saw lambs with the sheep, and I felt God say to me, the key, the way I'm going to work through this church is through people being discipled and disciples discipling others. And so I just want to leave that with you this morning to think about. A couple of questions to think about there. Are you being discipled? And is it working? With all due respect, I say this carefully, but when I say, are you being discipled, I don't just mean, are you turning up once a month or whatever, having coffee and ticking a few boxes, but are you being discipled? Is somebody challenging you? Is somebody encouraging you? Is somebody helping you to go deeper? If you aren't being discipled, maybe God's saying to you this morning, it's time. If you are being discipled and it's not quite right, maybe God's saying, I want to up the game. But there's a bigger question. Are you being discipled? Are you ready to disciple others? Maybe others that are already here, maybe others that God's going to bring in. But God wants to work in this church through discipleship. Are we ready? Are we willing? Have a think about that. Holly's going to bring a reading for us, and then we've got a video clip.
So I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 19. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men.
The video clip, make sure the volume's up for us. Yeah, you'll have to start that again because volume wasn't up. I don't want to be too long this morning, but we're in the middle of, or coming to an end, I suppose, with next week of a little Easter series we've been doing. And we looked at the story of Lazarus and how that pointed towards where we were going. We looked at the story of the alabaster ointment and the worship of Mary as she anointed Jesus' feet. Last week we looked at Palm Sunday and all that is there. As I thought about those stories that we've looked at, I thought about the fact that these things are all about presence. They're all about being in the presence of the Father, in the presence of Jesus. And actually, if you look closely at some of them, actually as well, it's about how we are in that presence, how we respond to that presence. What are our motives in those presence? You can look at, you know, have a naive thought in me that I think is there without realizing it, that somebody just gets into the presence of God, something's going to happen. But actually, when I look at some of these stories, I see them in the presence of Jesus, and yet I see traitors, and I see people who are too busy to even realize that they need to worship Jesus. Or I think, actually, even the presence didn't get them. And they didn't get the presence. So it's possible to be in the presence and still miss it. And I found that quite challenging. Because actually, it's about how we position ourselves in that presence. It's about how we position our hearts. It's about what our motives are at the time. Do we, when we experience that presence, do we actually then make it all about Jesus, or do we start to make it all about ourselves? Always reminds me of the story on the Mount of Transfiguration when the disciples said, "This is really good, isn't it? Let's put some huts up and just stay here." And it became all about them and enjoying the presence rather than suddenly saying, "But what does this mean? And how should this affect me?" We can very easily miss, or if we don't miss, then actually get the wrong part of it. But actually, God wants us to touch his presence so that he can touch us. So that's just a little interlude of where we've been. And next week we're going to the ascension. But today, we know it's all about the resurrection. We've had, in various ways, we've heard the story this morning, haven't we, of the cross. And then comes Sunday, and suddenly, he's alive. Suddenly, everything that seemed desperate is changed again. And everybody's excited. And we read this morning, or Holly read this morning, very famous passage that most of us will know well. And I put the question, but what if he hadn't? What if he didn't rise again? And there's some key indicators in there of what it would mean for us and how important for us it is that he did, that he rose again. I want to suggest to you this, that had we just had Friday and the cross, we'd have had history. But that's all we'd have had. There'd have been no future, no hope. Just, well, that was good while it lasted. What next? That's all that would have happened. I'm not wanting to take away from the cross. Cross is important. But without the resurrection, what is it? And that's the battle that's going on in this scripture here. Because people were saying, no, there's no resurrection of the dead. And the writer of the Corinthians starts to address that because he realizes it's a key point. This is an important issue. So what do we learn from this passage? I'm just going to do a few points. I'm aiming to finish early this morning. Verse 14 says this, that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if he stayed there, then actually our preaching is useless because there's no gospel to preach. If he just died, there isn't a gospel. It's just useless. Verse 15 says, if he didn't die, then the apostles were found to be liars because they weren't telling the truth. And therefore, we are best deceived or are liars as well. Quite strong stuff, isn't it? If Jesus didn't die, then what's it all about? Verse 17 says this, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there's no forgiveness of sins because we need the resurrection as much as we need the cross. Even those who've gone before us are lost. Don't know whether I'm the only one, but Easter Sunday, I woke up this morning and as I was praying, I found myself thinking about my relatives that have gone. Some recently. So my mum and dad, I found myself thanking God for the short time that I had with my dad, relatively short time. And thanking God for the time that I had with my mum and thanking God for the time that I had with my elder brother and treasuring the time at the end when having lived a life that didn't really indicate anything of faith. I heard stories from one of my other brothers of how in his young teens, my eldest brother had made a commitment for God that I knew nothing about. And to be able to pray with him in his last minutes and trust God that he would water the seed that was still there. I found myself thanking God for all these things. But what are they if there's no hope after that? In fact, verse 19 says, if Jesus didn't rise, then of all people, we Christians are of the most to be pitied. Because all that we've lived for, all that we give ourselves to, is in vain. Not good news, is it? Unless you get to verse 20, which Holly didn't read deliberately. Because it says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. That's the good news this morning. That's the good news for me, and it's the good news for you. It's the good news for all those that have gone before us. But I'll tell you something else. It's the good news for all those who are out there who don't know. The fact that they don't know doesn't mean it isn't good news. They just need to get hold of the good news. They need to hear the good news. Now, I ask you a question that somebody more famous and more renowned than me asks. How are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? How are they going to hear unless somebody preaches to them? Now, I realize we live in a world where when you say somebody preaches to them, what does that mean? And what does that sound like? We live in a world where, yes, everybody needs to hear the whole gospel. And we can, if we're not careful, miss bits out. But we also live in a world that constantly is judged, put down, ridiculed. A world that needs to hear a sound of love. A world that needs a sound of hope. A world that wants to hear good news. You know more than me. You can turn the telly on, and I'm one of those sad people that has BBC News on quite a lot. Keep getting told by people it's fake news. Mr. Trump again. Or, you know, it's biased or whatever, but I often have it on. And it's not very often there's good news on there, is it? It's always bad news. But we've got good news. I'm not sure whether you know, but that word gospel means good news. And the world needs to hear our good news. And I love the various points in the calendar where we celebrate. I love this Easter Sunday morning. Somebody was having a debate about whether we need to have lively songs on Easter Sunday morning just because it's Easter. My answer was yes. Because we could be miserable any time. But we've got something to shout about. We've got something to scream about. We've got something to cheer about. There are a lot of people yesterday, including one not very far from me, cheering because one man managed to score 3 goals for a change in a certain team. It doesn't happen often, so I can understand them cheering. I can say that quite safely, being a Middlesbrough supporter, because we have no hope. But stadium full of people cheering because a man managed to get the ball in the net 3 times. How much more should we be cheering? How much more should we be shouting? He's alive. He's risen. And because of that, thank you, Steph. And because of that, we have life. And because of that, the world can know and have life. So here's a challenge for you this morning. Are you going to keep it to yourself, or are you going to share it? I'm going to set you a challenge this week, and then I'm finished. You know what happens after Easter Sunday? Well, maybe it's by about Tuesday. You go down to Tesco's, and they've got these shelves of eggs that they haven't sold, and they just want to give you them very cheap, don't they? And we all think, great, cheap chocolate for the next 12 months. If you're my son-in-law, his garage gets filled with them. Or we think, that's it. I've got my cheap supplies for the kids for the next 12 months. I want to give you a challenge. Go down to Tesco's this week and buy an Easter egg. And take that Easter egg and look for somebody you don't know. Give them the Easter egg and tell them why. Tell them why. Tell them what it means. Tell them the real story of Easter. Do you know what? They might give you the egg back. They might reject it. But you just might see somebody who gets resurrection life because you've been brave enough to take that egg and use it as a means of, can I talk to you? That's all that the street team do. On the street, really, they just use little sweets. I'm saying this time, let's use an egg. And again, another famous preacher said, let's use all things possible to reach as many as we can. That's my paraphrase. Well, if we can use Easter eggs, let's use them. Better than selling them off cheap in the shop for nothing. Get out there, buy some cheap Easter eggs, get the message out there. It's not about chocolate. It's about Jesus. And he's alive. He is real. He lives. I won't break into an old hymn. But I'm always tempted at Easter. He lives. I know he lives. He lives within my heart. We've got a story to tell. Are we going to tell it? That's my challenge this morning. God bless you.